Thank you, praise team. All right. All right, so this morning the sermon title is Olympic Disciples. I told you I'm not smart enough to plan this stuff out, but back in May when I was like, okay, I think I'm going to go through Philippians this summer with you, I couldn't have planned it better. We get to the text we're going to look at this morning, and this morning at 7 a.m., anybody stay up? No, was the closing ceremonies for the Olympics. They just ended. How many of you saw at least maybe one event or a couple of different events? You watched a little bit of the Olympics? Yeah. It's amazing. It's fantastic. Let me just give you a couple of stats here. The Olympics ran from July 23rd to August 8th this morning at 7 a.m., if anybody was up watching that. They were in Tokyo, Japan. A total of 206 nations were represented, approximately 11,091 athletes competed in a lot of different events, all the way from the gymnastics and swimming to archery to the things that you might not even think about being an Olympic sport, like rock climbing and skateboarding and all these different activities that are out there. They featured a total of 339 events in 33 different sports. You know, track and field, there's so many right there just in that itself. They gave out somewhere around 5,000 medals total, a lot there. The Olympic, I kind of Googled last night, and there were still about maybe 10 or a dozen medals yet to be awarded before I went to bed, but I'm sorry, I'm not staying up that late. But last night, the medal count, the United States had the most medals, gold, silver, and bronze, at 108, and China was right behind them at 87, and then Russia at 69, but China had more gold medals. China had 38 gold medals, and the United States had 36. So that just kind of gives you a little bit of that. There were 25 world records that were broken just in the Tokyo Olympics alone, and a number of Olympic records and some other things. I didn't know this. I was looking at the stats, but because of the different conditions, they don't award world records or Olympic records to some sports like canoeing and rowing because the conditions and the wind, it all has to be like uniform and the same, so they give them the accolades for the time. So there's a number of awards that were given there, but they're not considered world records for whatever reason. I'm like, that's interesting. Never knew that. So I was looking, who is the most decorated Olympian of all time? Right now, it's the swimmer, Michael Phelps. I don't know if you're familiar with that. He has like 28 or 29 medals, but this past year there was a track and field star named Allison Felix, who was the most decorated track and field athlete in this past Olympics. And you've probably seen pictures. She looks like Mr. T, the female version of Mr. T. She's got all the bling hanging around her neck. Amazing athlete. Just it's really neat. And I was preparing the message this morning, I'm like, you know, what a great example for us as Christians, as believers. And I want to challenge you this morning to consider that you might be Olympic disciples. You know, I started to say Olympic Christians, but that sometimes that word is just, everybody's a Christian, right? But if you're really going to be a disciple, someone who follows, who seeks after the teachings of Jesus, you know, and that's where I think our goal should be, is not just to be a Christian, not just a name only, but we should be followers of Christ. And we're going to look at in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16 this morning. As I was reading through it this week, I found kind of four things that I want to bring out to you that I think if we say, all right, if we're going to be Olympic disciples, we need to understand these four different things. So if you'll read with me starting in chapter 3, verse 12 there in Philippians. Not that I've already attained all this, or that I've already been made perfect, But I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for that which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such view of these things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. This morning, I want to challenge you, and I hope that as we dig into the scripture this morning, that you get a little selfish. I know we just talked about being selfless a couple weeks ago, but this morning, I don't want you thinking about your spouse, your children, your parents. I want you to do a little bit of self-examination this morning and ask some good questions. Where am I at? I know it's hard. Sometimes when the pastor thinks and says things, we're like, oh, and our mind starts going. But this morning, let's focus in on ourselves. Where are we at in some of these different areas that we're going to bring up here? Where am I when it comes to my discipleship with the Lord? Am I being an Olympic disciple, or have I quit the race? Have I packed up my bags and I've already headed home? And so let's look at these four different things. You've got the outline there. Number one, Olympic disciples are never satisfied with their current spiritual condition. Look at the first couple of verses again here. Paul says there, he says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. What does he say there? He's not that I've already obtained this. What's he talking about? What's this? Well, from last week, just the couple of verses right before then, remember Paul was saying he wants to, you know, right there in verses 10 and 11, there, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing with his sufferings. That's what he's talking about there. Is not that I've already obtained this. He's not obtained the resurrection, but he's going to press on there. He continues going there. You know, he says, I've not already obtained it, but I'm going to press on. Are you and I satisfied with our spiritual lives? Have we reached a plateau point in our relationship with God where we're like, I'm satisfied. I'm good. I come to church on a regular basis, or I read my Bible occasionally. And have we gotten to a point where we are satisfied with where we're at spiritually? And if that is you this morning, if that is me this morning, I want to challenge us to go a little bit further. The Purpose-Driven Life, written by Rick Warren, He uses the baseball diamond to describe kind of how a spiritual life should go. You know, are we just satisfied that we're up to bat? Oh, man, I'm up to bat. I'm swinging. I'm on the team. I got my eternal life. I got my fire insurance, some of us like to joke about. But we really don't care about advancing or contributing to the team that we're on as Christians. Do we not just want to be up to bat? Do we want to get on base? Do we want to make a hit? And then once we're on first base, do we want to go to second base and third base? And do we eventually, as Christians, do we want to score? Do we want to be that kind of a Christian this morning? And that's where I want to challenge you a little bit. The example, this I was thinking about all sorts of Olympic ideas. There was no shortage of examples this week with all the Olympics and everything going on. I said, is there somebody in the Olympics who has made a world record and then broken it? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. right here, Sydney McLaughlin there, she broke her own world record this past Olympics. All right, she's a sprinter. She was the one that I think that Bobby was talking about a couple of weeks ago in the hurdles, all right? She had a world record that she set herself. Let me just read you to it here. It says, this is probably one of the most anticipated rivalries, too, between her and another American. But in the the Olympic series, Sydney McLaughlin set another world record, beating her closest rival, defending her gold medal, Dalia Muhammad, in the women's 400-meter hurdles by a razor-thin margin of 0.12 seconds. She was on the fast track, 21 years old. Wow. You know, she finished in a time of 51.46 seconds. She shaved a total of 0.44 seconds off her previous Olympic record. So she's continuing to advance and to move and to go forward. And I think about that example for us spiritually. Maybe many of us, we've made some strides in our faith, and we're like, yeah, man, we did this great thing as a church, and we were able to do this together. Or maybe personally you think, well, I was able to do this, and I read through the Bible last year, but then we kind of let that high mark in our spiritual life, in the life of our church or us personally, we kind of let that stand as a peak, and we have no desire to try to tackle something else greater. And I think that if you're going to be an Olympic disciple, I think that's going to be one of the tenets that you and I need to take on. It's not about just the peaks that we have achieved. It's like, what can I do again? What do you have for me now, Lord? What else is there that I can improve on in my spiritual life? And so that's the first point I want to bring to you this morning. You know, just to give you like a personal example for our church, a couple weeks ago, we gave out the school supplies, the backpacks. I mean, that was awesome. I mean, we gave out those backpacks in 30 minutes or less. And it was 131 backpacks and all the school supplies. And so for us as a church, you know, I got in staff meeting with our staff this past week. And it's like, what can we do next time? You know, what should be our goal? Is it 300 backpacks? Is it 500? And let's work to go past these different goals that we have set. And of course, we're going to pray through those and seek the Lord in it. But that should be our attitude, personally, and also as a church. Secondly, Olympic disciples don't look back. In 1954. Some of you were alive, some of us were not. There was Roger Bannister was the first man to run a mile under 4 minutes. I know probably a few of you knew that because you're avid runners. But in May of 1954, he broke that record. He was the first man to run a mile under 4 minutes. And in just a month later, right after that, an Australian guy named John Landy also broke the record, beat Roger Bannister's record by 1.4 seconds. And it's almost something now, if you're a runner in here, you understand that. That is something that it's almost, I wouldn't say it's commonplace, but many runners have achieved that goal. But he was the first one to break through that 4 minute mile. Well, in August of 1954, the two fastest runners in the world met at the British Empire Games in Vancouver, Canada. The race was dubbed as going to be the Miracle Mile, the race of the century. But these two fast runners, as Bannister and Landy turned the last lap, Landy was ahead. This is the Australian, and he was ahead and looked certainly to win. But as he was nearing the finish line, he could not help himself. He turned around to look and to see where Roger Bannister was and how close he was. And he, the second he did that, he lost his stride, he lost his gaze ahead, and Roger Bannister passed him and won. After the race was over, people interviewed him, came up to him, and this is what John Landy said. He says, I would have won the race had I not looked back, if I hadn't taken my eyes off the goal. And for you and I, Christians, I see this here. Look at what Paul says here in verse 13. This is so, so important for us to realize this. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. So Olympic Christians, we don't look back. And there's a couple things I want to point out to you about this. You know, we know that the goal is ahead of us. We know that it's in front of us here. Paul says we forget what is behind. There's a couple of different things I want to bring out to you this morning. Now, when you think about that, you think, okay, don't look back. Don't look behind us. You're probably thinking what most of us are probably thinking, all the negative things in our past, right? Our failures, the things that we don't do. And that is true. You know, Paul, think about Paul as he wrote this. He his life before Christ, he persecuted the church. I wonder if Paul kind of flashed back to Acts chapter 7 there, verse 58, excuse me, when he stood in the crowd when they stoned Stephen. And I wonder how he felt about that. Look what it says there. Acts 7:58 says that they covered their ears, yelling at the top of their voices, and they all rushed him, meaning Stephen, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. You think about everything that Saul had done to persecute the church and to take Christians off to jail. And when he wrote this, he says, you know what? I'm going to forget the past because God has changed me. I've got a new purpose and a new meaning. And you definitely think about, wow, if anybody needed to forget the past, it was Paul. Everything that he had gone through. But yet God was using him as amazingly as he could. But also, I want you to think about something else too. When it comes to forgetting the past, it's not just the bad stuff, folks. God may have done some great things in our lives, some good things, some awesome things. But you know what? If we as Christians, we get hung up on the past and we don't look forward, we're going to miss it. And maybe the tendency sometimes is for us to live in the past. Man, those were the great years. This was, man, we did this. But I want to encourage you this morning, if you and I want to truly be Olympic Christians, disciples, let's not live in the past. Let's do what Paul says there. Let's forget what's behind us, and let's strain towards what's ahead. I wrote this saying down, and you know, if we live in the past, we're not going to be able to walk in the future of what God has for us. If you and I live in the past, we will not be able to walk in the future that God has for us. And so I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you're living the old glory days up and you think, man, this world, our culture, our nation is just, it's going down. You know, we've seen the best there ever is. I want to encourage you this morning, don't live in the past. But maybe you're like the other side of that too. Maybe you're burdened down by your past. Maybe you think, man, I'm always going to struggle with this. I've always dealt with this problem, my past, the things I did, the things I said to people, and maybe that weighs you down. And I want to tell you again, just like Paul, don't live in the past. Move forward. If you're going to be an Olympic disciple, you have to let that past go. You've got to learn to say, you know what? The past is the past. Number three here, not only, you know, Paul is saying don't look back, he says, but if we're going to be Olympic Christians, then we need to look to the future as we run also there. Verses 13 and 14, again, let me just read that to you, refresh your mind. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's two words there. He says, number one, he says, straining towards what is ahead. That's all about the effort, right? When we strain, when we aim for something, how much are we straining in our spiritual relationship with the Lord today? Do we really focus? I mean, when I was a student pastor, a lot of the students, y'all are good students, and you care about your grades, But I want to tell you sometimes that I think you care a little bit too much about your grades than you do your spiritual life. Because you spent more time on that than you did your own spiritual life. And if that hurts, I'm sorry, but that's how I felt. But, you know, your school is for a time. But your spiritual walk with the Lord, that's eternal stuff. That's just not temporary stuff. And for adults, for us, if we pour everything into our jobs or we pour everything into our family, but we don't take the time to put in the time with the Lord, then that's not a strain either. So my question to you this morning, Olympic disciples, are you straining to make strides in your faith? Or is it just like, well, whatever comes may, que sera, sera. That's where I think we need to realize that's, and then Paul goes and he says, I'm straining towards what's ahead. He says, towards the goal to win the prize. Are we keeping the goal? Are we keeping the main thing? Are we keeping our eye on the ball? Are we, keeping on? That is the goal in Christianity. That's what it should be. The old statement about the football example, I think Lombardi, when he got all these professional football players together first day of camp, he says, gentlemen, this is a football, right? Right? Okay, just to remind you, this is a football. This is what we're playing for. And I think sometimes we can lose sight of that as Christians. Are we keeping the main thing? Are we working on our spiritual discipleship? Are we making strides? Or did we get distracted with other things? Our church should be about sharing the gospel. It's great that we're doing a lot of things for the community, but it should be for the gospel's sake. And that those two should always be together. And finally, last here, if we're going to be Olympic disciples, Paul, he warns the Philippians a little bit here in verse 16. He says, church, Philippian church, if you're going to be Olympic disciples, you can't move backwards. Look what he says there in verse 16. He says that, let me just read 15 again. All of us who are mature should take such views of these things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. In verse 16 here, he says, only let us live up to what we have already obtained. We have to live up to what we've already obtained. And I want to make a note here before I start going a little deep in this. What I'm about to talk about is for you and you alone. I'm not talking about comparing you with somebody in the pew beside you. I'm not saying look at yourself versus another pastor, a Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about just within your own spiritual walk by yourself. We should live up to what we have already obtained. I know and I fully recognize that we're all on different spiritual maturity levels. There are some people who have spent a lifetime developing and reading and that relationship with the Lord, and they have a very mature relationship. And there are others who are growing and they're new at it. So what I'm saying here is I'm not saying that you have to be just like the Pope or Billy Graham. Well, don't be like the Pope. That's a bad example. But anyway, you have to live up to what you have already obtained, and you should not be moving backwards. You don't need to be taking one step forward, two steps back. That's not how that's supposed to work. This is for ourselves here. I wonder. Here it is again. COVID, right? If you look back at your life 18 months ago, prior to March 12th, 2020, and then you look at your life now, today, where it's at, and this is where I want you to be selfish this morning. Don't be thinking about anybody else, your spouse, your mom, your dad, your kids. Are you further along in your spiritual walk with the Lord than you were prior to March 12th, 2020? Or would you have to say, you know what? I think maybe I've regressed a little bit. And maybe my walk with the Lord is not as good as it used to be. And again, this is between you and the Lord, and right here between your ears. I have to answer that question too. And, you know, COVID did a lot of things. I was in a meeting this past week, and one of the pastors said, stop saying pre-COVID because things have changed and they're not going to go back. And but the important thing is how have you and I gone through it? How have we weathered what culture has done and we've been through? Are we better for it in our faith? Or are we worse off? Where are you at this morning? Would you say that, man, my relationship with the Lord is closer, or it's not so close? And what I want to tell you this morning is, no matter if you feel like it's gone backwards, you can change that this morning. You can make a decision. You can set some goals to say, you know what, I want to get my faith back on track to where it needs to be. And you can make decisions, and I want to encourage you here in just a minute to do some application. You know, it's one thing you come in and you hear a sermon, but if you walk out of here and you leave and you go to bed tonight and you've not made any kind of practical application about what you're going to do, then it's just some words that you've heard. So I really want to challenge you all this morning. Before you lay your head down on the pillow tonight and you go to bed, if you feel like you have regressed in your spiritual walk with the Lord, and you say, I want to do something about it, Pastor John. Well, don't just want to. I challenge you. Set a goal, whatever it might be. Maybe it's to spend more time with God each week. Maybe it's to read the Word of God more often. Maybe it's to attend church more often. Maybe it's to attend Bible study more often. Maybe it's to be part of a ministry or to share your faith more often. And whatever the Lord puts on your heart, write it down. And if you want to, if you want to call or text me and say, hey, this is what I'm doing. I want some accountability. Help me out. Pray for me. And I will be glad to do that. Or ask somebody else in the pew and help them hold you accountable. But we, as if we're going to be truly Olympic disciples, we don't need to take steps backward. That's not how we should be growing. I want to kind of close out by showing a video to you this morning. It's 3 minutes. Let's see if I can do this. This is not an Olympic video. I chose my favorite sport, football. Oop, wrong one. It's slow. There we go. All right.
Certain point before.
Yeah. Great movie. Great movie. You know, I was in a meeting this past week with Dr. James Merritt with about 10 other pastors, and he was just sharing from his heart about different things. He said one thing. He said, I think the biggest problem in the church today is indifference and apathy. And I know that I've heard that from a number of other pastors as well. Indifference, apathy, the desire to move forward, to be involved, to be active. And I just, seeing that video clip, it makes me wonder, is the Holy Spirit just like that coach in our lives? And we're crawling on there and we're trying to make strides. The Holy Spirit is just saying, keep going, keep going, keep going. And he's trying to encourage us. This morning, I don't know where you're at. Maybe you feel like, man, I'm doing okay. I'm making strides. I'm looking forward. I'm not trying to look back. And you feel like this is not an issue for you. But I just want to encourage you, pray for those people that may be in that place. But this morning, if you're here this morning and you feel like, man, my spiritual walk, I'm not an Olympic disciple, but I want to be. I want to be back where I should be. What are you going to do about it? I mean, again, this is the invitation time, and you don't have to walk forward. You don't have to come shake my hand and tell me anything, but I do challenge every single one of you. Are you going to leave church today and say, you know what? I want to get back on it. I'm going to make a goal. I'm going to set a goal for my own spiritual walk, and I'm going to do something about it. And I really hope that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your hearts right now, and I pray that you will just be obedient this morning. That whatever he's telling you to do, that you just say, yes, Lord, I'll do that. You know, have you given up? Have you resigned church? Maybe you're already a Christian, but you realize, you know what? I've just kind of been satisfied where I'm at. I feel like I've got my eternal life. I'm going to go to heaven, but I really don't want to make any strides. Maybe you need to pray for yourself. Say, God, give me a desire to be an Olympic disciple so that I'll keep going and I'll keep striving. You know, and then what goal you set. And then for others of you here today, maybe you're here this morning and you are not a believer. You're not a disciple of Christ. Don't you want to get in the race? Why not come today? Why not give your life to Christ? Let's get in the race. Join the team that's the best team out there. Be a part of the winning team that we win in the end, because we know how the story ends. And I'm going to tell you, you will never find a purpose. You will never be fully happy until you're living the life that God wants you to live. Amen. You can fake it till you make it. You can try. A lot of people do. They try to put it all in their work. They try to put it in their family. But until you're living for the Lord and you've given your life to him, you will never be truly, truly happy. And if that's you this morning, I want to offer you the opportunity to give your life to Christ. If everybody would just bow your heads, nobody looking around. If you want to ask Christ to come into your life this morning, if you'll say that through a simple prayer to the Lord this morning, say, "Dear God, I know that you love me, and I know that I'm a sinner. I need you in my life. This morning, God, I want to turn from my sin. I want to put my hope and trust in you. Come into my life. Help me to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen." This morning, we're going to have an altar time here. This is the time that God is dealing specifically with you. If you want to come down here and pray for yourself, pray for your family, you can do that. If you'd like to join the church, if you feel like Westside is the place that you want to plant your family or yourself, we'd love to have you. We'd love for you to be a part of Westside. If you prayed that prayer and you said, "God, I need you in my life," I'd love to just shake your hand and help you in your new steps as you follow Christ as a new believer. So the altar time is up. I'm going to turn it over to Rebecca. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, God, and I just pray that that this time is your time, that you will do whatever you desire to do, Lord, in the lives of your people here at Westside. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.